Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
I think we're good. What's going on, everybody? We are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 109. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina coming to you live from Underground Studios. And as always, this show presented by Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, Matt?
You know, just another day, another dollar.
Seems to be the storyline. With this team, but it is a Sixer Saturday, and just probably a half hour ago, John Johnson from KYW WIP tweeting pregame warm-up footage of Ben Simmons draining threes.
I mean, we've seen him in empty gyms make threes. That's not news to us. It's about making them in the game. So that's really the only time that'll become news to me. But I think pretty much every NBA player could make threes. Mm-hmm. At an obscene clip just in, you know, warm-ups and empty gyms. So, yeah.
Hopefully it comes in the game sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, we got that shot against the Lakers feels like forever ago at this point, but it was actually like, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, I mean, maybe today's the day. Who knows? But I think it's actually pretty good odds that before, like, we got what, like, 18, 19 games left in the season.
If not a little bit more.
I think we'll see him attempt at least three or four more, just, you know, along the way. So, we'll see.
Wednesday, the news came out that Joel Embiid and Furkan Korkmaz both injured. Embiid will be reevaluated in 1 week. Korkmaz, who knows how long he's going to be out.
Korkmaz, it sounds like it's probably over for him as a Sixer, because 6 weeks even is right at the end of the season, and he's really not going to be playing playoff minutes, even if he was healthy. The Embiid thing read to me more like he's just a little bit fatigued and sore, and it's like, just give him that week off. I honestly read that as you played in the All-Star game, and he was out late the night before the All-Star game, which is
dancing
why I think is why he had such not a great performance Sunday night. It's because he was probably pretty hungover still. So I read that more as, yeah, we're just giving this guy a full week off so he can actually recover. It's not unlike what we've seen where they, you know, rest him, you know, where he'll have like a 4 or 5 day block off. I think it's very similar. Obviously, it sucks to have him out for this stretch here, but there's no actual injury, thankfully. They, you know, said there's no structural damage when they did MRIs and stuff. It's just some general soreness, so hopefully gets rested up, because, you know, we need him obviously for come playoff time and down this stretch to put together some wins. But,
and it does seem like they always try to kind of put this rest for him right around
They literally said load management in the release. Like, that was my sign to me. That's like, okay, yeah, like the, that's like the buzzword now for, yeah, we're
and
just
the timeline
giving this guy a break.
For it, it always seems to come around when his return is expected to be, right when there's a national TV game.
Yeah.
Because he's expected to come back for the Warriors, which is on national TV. Would you be surprised if he tries to push himself to play against the Thunder and Russ?
No, because I don't think he cares like Russ does. If the roles were reversed and it was Russell being rested for the week, I would say he would. But I think Joel always wants to play like he's competitive like that. But I think he'll cherish some time off and a little bit of R&R. And he deserves it. I mean, you know, he's had a pretty brutal, you know, first three quarters of the season. He was dependent on a lot, probably too much, you know, for stretches, especially from like late November, December. That was just grueling for pretty much the whole team. So cool with it, you know. Obviously, though, when he getting back fully healthy, fully ready to go, because like I said, we need to push for this three seed. Boston losing the other night helps us out, you know, get some space between us. So It's all good as long as he's, you know, actually healthy.
And then the other cool story that came out yesterday was Amir Johnson requested to play with the Blue Coats so he could actually play in a game. Good on Amir, wanting to kind of just stay in game action just in case anything happens and just wanting to play a competitive basketball game. You never see that, especially from veterans like that, be like, yeah, I want to play.
Yeah, I'd imagine he's probably just tired of sitting around. I can't even remember the last game Amir played. I think it's been months at this point, you know, when he's played last. So, yeah, I mean, I don't blame him exactly. Speaking of Blue Coats, Zaire Smith called up. Seems like it's just for practice, and this is probably going to be a routine for the rest of the season. Brett Brown said he doesn't expect to see him, but...
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with that is. It's kind of like... It's kind of funny, you know, like, I think it was literally the day before he said he doesn't expect to see Zaire for the rest of the season, and then the next day that they're calling him up for the Blue Coats. So it's sort of funny to me a little bit, but yeah, I don't know if we actually will see him play a game. It seems like, though, this is obviously a really positive step with him practicing with the first team, so to say. That's always positive, and really it's just about him getting back into like physical shape and ability to be able to come back as a full NBA player. It's not really so much the injury anymore. It's about the weight that he lost and getting back into being a top athlete. So I'm fine with being a little patient with him, but I don't know, man. Like, we're not even in March yet, and he's already returning back for some, you know, practices with the,
which is ahead with the main team. Thought.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's inconceivable that maybe, you know, late March he makes a debut. I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy to me personally, but obviously organization knows better than any of us will about his health. So we'll see.
Potentially.
Yeah, actually should be careful with saying that because I don't know.
But I mean, we've talked about it before too. Like, we don't necessarily need Zaire to be that offensive kind of player. We need his defense to be able to defend the point, and if he can come back and just do that, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, his athleticism off the bench would be very welcome because there's very few players really, I think, like him, even in the league. I think he's a little bit special as it is and unique. So, yeah, having someone like that off the bench would be a huge, use a cliche here, X factor going into, like, the late stretch of the season and potentially playoffs. So, hopefully, you know, everything bounces the right way for him and he comes back fully healthy. But, you know, we'll see. That's really it.
That's pretty much what it is with any Sixers injury the last few years. Game today, matinee, thoughts, expectations...
It's the Blazers, another team that we faced previously with Embiid out. I think they're a really strong team, and without Embiid, it's going to be, I think, very difficult to beat this squad. They're a team that's, you know, pushing for, you know, one of the top seeds in the West, and killer guards. Obviously, we know that we get burnt by guys like Damian Lillard all the time, so would expect him to have a very comfortable afternoon against us. But, you know, when I say I'm not expecting us to win, I don't think we're going to get blown out, but you know, if you're asking me to bet on this game, I would be betting on the Blazers personally, just because I think this has the mold of a Sixers loss. But it's all right, you know, without Embiid, you know, still I think shaking off the rust from the All-Star break. We saw that Wednesday night against against the Heat. Still a little bit of rust to knock off. So yeah, I don't expect much today. Put in a comfortable performance. See some more good stuff from Toby. I liked what I saw with Jimmy Butler at the point, Ben playing at the five on Thursday. That was interesting. So we'll see.
Boban had a fantastic game.
Yeah, Boban had a great game. It was the Boban game, really. I thought all the starters played well Thursday, truth be told. And TJ had that like really good burst, I think, in the fourth on Thursday. It feels like forever ago, even though it was like literally a day and a half. But yeah, he had that really good burst where he had some steals, big moments. I'm so glad Dwayne Wade was retiring so we don't have to see him just absolutely slap us every time, man.
All the time.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons gets the D-Wade jersey swap.
Yeah. Huge. That's honestly, like, that's big, I think. Yeah, you know,
I think so too.
Like, this is a guy that's like swapping jerseys with like Steph Curry and like Dirk, you know, like,
yeah. And
I don't know.
LeBron,
I think
obviously they're friends, but
yeah, I think that's a game recognized game moment, and I think it says a lot about how Ben is received and respected amongst NBA players. You know, I think Ben, he's improved slightly this year, but, you know, we've said it a million times. He's a Van Gogh with a smudge in the corner. We know what his issues are, whether or not he's taking the right steps to become a better shooter. And when I say become a better shooter, I mean shoot the ball.
Right.
Because he's starting at zero, essentially.
There's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, really. At this point, so but I think that's big, man. Honestly, you know, getting that kind of respect like that, and
especially with one of D-Wade's former teammates being on the Sixers with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, like you saw Ben posted the Instagram and said that Dwayne Wade inspired him, and that's awesome, man. You know, so happy for Dwayne Wade. Happy we don't have to see him anymore. I'm over the Dwayne Wade experience because he always burns the Sixers. I tell you, man, no one else on the Heat plays well against us but Dwayne Wade. It's absolutely ridiculous, but...
Just thinks we don't get to see Hassan Whiteside just be bad anymore. He's pretty bad. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
No words for that, man. No words for him.
Man.
It's hilarious because I remember there was, like, genuine debate about him and Embiid. This was a thing that people said. I remember it. Now it's like hilarious. Like, it's like the Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram stuff, you know, where it's like, oh, I don't know. Brandon Ingram's got a pretty high ceiling. Okay. He's Andrew Wiggins with more tattoos. Like,
and less meat on his bones.
Yeah, he's lanky, tattooed Andrew Wiggins. Let's relax.
He's skinny Wilson Chandler.
For real.
Wilson
Chandler at least has more sauce. And you know, he's like a sneakerhead at least. He's got like... something going for him. Brandon Ingram has those stupid braids. He looks like he should be doing double dutch with those braids. He looks like stupid.
Oh man. But yeah, everybody freaking out about the Zaire Smith thing. Like, he's literally gonna get called up and sent back down.
It's
for I'd say in the next couple weeks just to get his practice regimen in.
I think people are just excited to have a first-round pick back in the team again.
Because a bunch of people this morning, because they recalled Amir and sent Zaire back down. They're like, yo, what the hell? And it's like, it's so Zaire can go practice.
Yeah. It's just got to be patient with it. That's really the story of the Sixers now. We get the Blazers today, Pelicans on Monday, Thunder, Warriors. Then after that, though, I think we've mentioned this, we got an easier schedule, you know, coming down the stretch. So it's all about seeding now. That's really the story with the Sixers, you know, beating the teams you should beat, like the Heat, these fringe playoff teams, and then again against the Trailblazers today is not going to be easy. But you just look at the standings now, and it's just us trying to play catch up with Indiana, which, again, I think we should be able to do. So, and hopefully Boston drops some more, you know. That's really all it's coming down to at this point.
And luckily we're at home, so
yeah,
that helps too.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's a big Philly sport day. You got obviously Sixers and then Stadium Series, like two parking lots over. So I'm sure there are some people doing the double today. Yeah. A rare double, I think.
Sixers, Flyers.
Because it's rare Sixers even play at 1 o'clock. That's not like very common.
It's typically the other way around.
Yeah, normally it'd be like Flyers at 1:05, Sixers at 7 or 8. Yeah, like so a rare double today.
In two stadiums.
In two stadiums. And not stadiums you would really expect.
But yeah, the Stadium Series is today. Myself, Brooke, and Alex will be down at Xfinity Live hanging out down there. So if you're going to the game, going to Xfinity, make sure you come hang out with us, say hello, whatever. Carter Hart not starting the Stadium Series game. It will be Brian Elliott.
Yeah.
Flyers Twitter exploded last night.
Well, apparently now he's out for 10 days with a lower body injury.
Well, I saw conflicting reports with that, where it was somewhat accurate and partially joking, where they're just going to rest him. It's not, like, actually
an
injury.
I thought it was, like, reported as a 10-day injury.
I could be wrong.
I was under the impression that this was, like, they're saying he's out with with a 10-day lower body injury, and that it wasn't like speculation. I don't know though. It's from the official account. Says he has a lower body injury and is expected to be out a minimum of 10 days.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think the it's a bummer because it's really like one of the biggest games of the season. You might even say the biggest, just because
from the magnitude of
yeah,
the
like
platform and
exactly. It's big game, big stadium, and you know the brightest spark of this season for the Flyers is not going to be out there blank, which is a bummer. And I think there's some people that even bought their tickets because they're hopeful to see Carter Hart play. I mean, it's like any other you know star player. Mm-hmm. You go with the expectations, like buying tickets for the Sixers game, thinking Embiid's going to be there, and then he's rested or yeah. whatever. So yeah. Now, whether or not this injury is in fact legit, in the sense that he is actually struggling with an injury, that's probably debatable. Maybe they released this because of the backlash last night where mm-hmm. people were very upset. Because the way Scott Gordon said it, though, did not sound like he's injured.
No.
And we know that he was practicing fine. Now, of course, all that doesn't mean that he can't have been carrying an injury.
Right.
You know, we know
that...
Could
be, like, retroactive.
Exactly. Or maybe it happened later on. Anything. And athletes we know... especially this like late in the year, typically do have some kind mm-hmm. of injury. You know, how many times does someone come out in the offseason and say, yeah, I was playing with like a pulled hip flexor
yeah,
most of the year or like whatever.
Come out and say he played all of last year with a torn meniscus.
Exactly.
So it happens.
So I don't know. It's kind of like the Sixers situation where it's like, do you really trust this medical team? Do you really trust them to be saying the right things and the fair things? I don't know. It's a bummer. Because no Carter Hart, obviously, but just hope now that everyone gets nice and drunk and ready to beat up some Pens fans, of course, and get excited, get behind the team. You know, I don't know.
I also think it's interesting that, you know, we found out Cam Talbot does, in fact, exist, and he's still yet to suit up for this team. Like, you would think today, potentially, would be the day. Just put the guy you just traded for out there and give Brian Elliott some rest because you've had to play him in consecutive games after you pulled Carter Hart, but Cam Talbot's still not playing for this team, and this trade continues to just look weirder and weirder.
It's mystifying, truly. But that's been most of this Flyers season. I had to throw in the Tank Nation salute. Tank Nation, though, is on a brief, 14-hour hiatus. Today is the only game that we must win.
Yeah.
From here on out, lose every game. I don't care. Flyers are in this... There's so many teams that are like this throughout like all the major sports. Where it's, they're on
the 2012 Sixers.
They're just this bubble team that, you know, maybe ceiling is seventh seed, maybe a second round exit. Like, what is that? What are we doing here? You know, why are we making a late season push? I talked about this weeks ago mm-hmm. where it was like, yeah, you know, they're in the midst of this really, you know, hot streak. And it's like, this is exciting. It's like, Is it? Is it? Because we've done this already. We've seen this exact song and dance before with the Flyers where they win 10-11 straight. And it's like, wow, this team could really do something. Yeah.
Losing the first round.
Technically, that is doing something. Losing the first round is doing something. But is that productive? Is that fun? I don't think so. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough scene right now because I think, let's be honest, like, what's the point of going all in on the rest of the season? You know, Tank Nation, I've said it since November, I think. I'm ready for a good, hard tank. Throw it all away. Who cares? Like, what's the point of getting in first round to get spanked by the Lightning? Seriously.
Yeah, we already got spanked by them this week, so you already know what you're dealing with.
I'm actually trying to find right now, I want to see if they're selling these practice sweaters, because these are very cool. The ones that just say Philly,
mm-hmm.
Those are fire.
Yeah. I also love the helmets.
I think the helmets are nice.
The concept is awesome.
I think everything about the Stadium Series stuff has been good. I know it's some people have been, you know...
poo-pooing it.
Yeah. I think they're nice. Yeah. I like the sort of like monochrome color. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's not exactly monochrome, but it's like you'd expect it to be. I like that it's like the older kind of orange. We have this like fluorescent orange where this is like that dirty orange.
Yeah.
I've always preferred that one.
Yeah.
I like everything really about the Stadium Series stuff. I think they are all looking pretty nice.
Just the big football logo looking helmets, I think, look awesome.
Which makes sense because you're playing at the link.
And I think that's really cool. I think all the goalie masks look awesome.
Yeah, Hart's looked cool.
Hart's was awesome. Brian Elliott's even looks cool. He kind of just designed it to look like the Eagles helmet. And Cam Talbot's has like a Ghostbusters theme to it, which is kind of cool too. But yeah, I'm excited to just kind of see the vibes going on down there. This could potentially be Wayne Simmons' final game in Philadelphia as a member of the Flyers, so salute to the Wayne train. Did we find one?
Yeah, I want the orange or the white, though. This is the black is nice. 130 is a little much for
Adidas.
A practice.
What is you doing?
A practice jersey, jeez, if you ask me. Yeah, that's a little bit of a bummer.
A little much.
Free shipping, not exactly worth it.
Hello, China.
Yeah. See, the Chinese states are bad with hockey sweaters, though. They never get the colors right.
But yeah, today could potentially be the final Wayne Simmons in a Flyers uniform Philadelphia game. They're going to play him, even though, you know, knock on wood, the potential for injury for any player in any sport is there. But it seems like this could be Wayne Simmons' swan song in Philadelphia. And I know people are going to be upset when it happens, but you got to move on from a guy that is not getting any younger. He's going to be a free agent. You're not going to be able to pay him. Get something for him while you can.
Yeah, I think that's all too right in the end. Great servant to the team. The Wayne train will live on forever, I think, inside all of us. And I think he really embodied, like, I think sports, like, you romanticize things a lot. And we talked about this a few weeks ago with the Phillies, where trading for a Real Muto, where I think people romanticize the idea, especially with the Phillies, of having, like, homegrown talent. And I think we romanticize also guys that sort of just, like, fit the culture of the city and the team. And I think few Flyers over the past, really this century even, have embodied that more than Wayne Simmons. If we're, like, really being honest, just kind of a wiry but very strong dude, gritty, all the cliches you want to throw out there, but also a talented player as well. And, you know, all the stories about, like, like opposing players saying, yeah, just don't fight Wayne because he will lose. You know, he was a great player for us, truly. And it kind of sucks we have a lot of these players right now that are realistically, if we're just being honest, are never going to win anything with us, that probably deserve to do that just because of, I think, their performances and, again, fitting in with that romantic idea of what a Flyer should be. They're never, you know, they're not going to have, like, that moment, you know, where, this will be sort of
worth it.
In memoria forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it certainly feels like the beginning of the end of an era, right? Mm-hmm. Because I will, like, always, like, think of him as a great Flyer, personally.
Yeah. He kind of, like, gets grouped into that category, like Kimmo Tiiminen, who wasn't necessarily homegrown, but became, like, a Flyer.
Exactly. Like, just fit very
Scott
well, and people really took to, you know?
Yeah. And it definitely does start to seem like that transition of eras is starting. And obviously, like, you integrated some of the future talent already with, like, Provorov, Ghost, TK, Carter Hart now. And then you have kind of the guard that we've grown up with Simmons, Jake Voracek, Claude Giroux, and those guys. But you just got to figure out what direction you're going to go. Is the trade deadline's, what, like 2 days away now?
Yeah.
You got to figure out what you're going to do. And I think that starts with finding a trade partner for Wayne Simmons. And whether that's Tampa Bay, whether that's Toronto, whether it's, you know, some playoff team, I think it's more likely to happen than not.
Yeah. And it is official now. The game is on for tonight.
Bingo. The
Flyers account tweeted it out, so. It would have been sick if it was Chloe. We got snow.
Yeah.
That would have been dope, I think.
That would have been really cool. Wouldn't be the first snow game at Lincoln Financial Field.
Let's just beat the Penguins today. Yeah. That's really it. And resume Tank Nation members.
Unite.
Reconvene tomorrow. This time tomorrow on Sunday.
The box office will be open to receive your ID badge.
Yeah. It's carte blanche. You take whatever you want.
You'll love to see it.
I'm really pissed these practice uniforms are 130. I'm sorry. I don't want to go back.
Annoying.
And they only have the black. I really like the white. I think the white is sick.
Yeah, that's really dumb.
Like, I could do 100 maybe.
Yeah.
130 for out. It just says Philly on the front. Like, come on, what are we doing here? It
doesn't even have like a number or anything. Like,
let's not get crazy. 130.
Come on. Philly's baseball happened yesterday, though.
Yeah.
We had game action. It was a great day for my brand because Michael Franco went yard, hit an absolute moonshot to left field, proving all the haters wrong. Cole Irvin, friend of the show, got the win in his first start of the spring. So shout out to Cole for showing out. Went 2 1/3 innings, had a nice little ratio of, you know, strikeouts to the amount of pitches that, or strikes thrown to the amount of pitches that he threw. And the Phillies won 3-2 down in Clearwater against the Rays. And they play again today at 1 o'clock against the Pirates. So that'll be something. It's on TV today, not just a radio game. So we actually get to watch Phillies baseball today. But late last night, Underground Sports Philadelphia potentially got a little tip from a source. Yeah, we have sources. About the Bryce Harper
multiple
contract.
Sources.
And we did extensive, you know, checking before we actually reported this, but there has been discussion, because last night obviously we saw Jim Salisbury tweet that John Middleton's plane was spotted in Las Vegas, and then the national media ran with it. Bob Nightingale said it's not a matter of who Bryce Harper signs with, but, you know, the amount of money John Middleton's willing to put on the check to give to him. But last night we received information about the discussed contract, and this backtracks to Buster Olney on his Baseball Tonight podcast, where he said that he wouldn't be shocked if the number 4 is in the contract. The numbers that we received last night, myself and Andrew Helfman, who has been brought onto Underground Sports Philadelphia more recently than, you know, the main faces of the show, but 10 years, $340 million is the alleged discussion rate right now between the Phillies and Bryce Harper. I don't see why John Middleton would fly to Las Vegas by himself if this wasn't going to get done soon. Obviously, you had the national guys going out and saying that it was a meet and greet. What is he, you know, a rock star?
I feel like we already had the meet and greet.
Yeah, we had that about 2 months ago.
Yeah, well, 4 years ago, I think.
And we also had, you know, another meeting with Harper and Boris recently, or just with Boris. But I don't see why John Middleton would just fly to Las Vegas by himself on his private jet if a deal was not imminent.
Here's my favorite exercise in moments like this. If this was another team, what would we be saying? If another team's owner flew to Las Vegas to meet with Bryce Harper, we would be saying, yeah, that's where it's going.
Just remember last year, John Middleton took his private jet somewhere and came back with a player, being Jake Arrieta. Don't be shocked if this Bryce Harper contract comes this week.
If he lands, instead of a F-22 Raptor flyover, it's John Middleton's private jet, lands in the middle of the link. No, okay. It flies over, Bryce Harper parachutes down.
Let's do it. With Gritty.
With Gritty.
Make it happen.
Wrecking ball plays.
What
do you think Gritty's going to do today? I
thought about that too.
I feel like Gritty has to pull out something special for today.
There's definitely going to be some tricks up his fur.
Yeah, I don't want to imagine Gritty having sleeves.
Just pulls the fur up. But yeah, it'll be interesting with this Bryce Harper development from last night and then the information we were given. Just get it done. John Middleton, come home Monday and have Bryce Harper with you. Let's have a press conference. Let's do this thing and just get it done and over with. Because Manny signed. Now Bryce wants his deal. You got an alleged deal in place. Just get it done.
Yeah. I'm putting, again, it's been on the back burner for me in my mind until it actually gets done.
Let's end Harper Lent.
I know there's some people waiting to drink a beer, some people
waiting to take care of their children,
to stop doing cardio at the gym. Many, many, many things have been given up for this. So hopefully it gets done, just because I think at this point it's beyond ridiculous. It's funny because it feels like every other day you get like a new like deadline for when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like this week it was, I'm hearing right before Manny Machado's press conference. Okay. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Before that it was Valentine's Day. It just feels like
it was the winter meetings.
The winter meetings genuinely feel like 5 or 6 months ago.
Yeah,
and they almost are.
Yeah,
like what? 3 months
ago. 3 months ago.
It feels like that was such a long time ago. And in a way, it was. But man, it is getting.
You got a video game cover to put out soon.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Release
day,
month and 3 days.
So there has to be an announcement soon.
There's got to be. But the nice thing is we've seen some other free agents start signing. More recently, Josh Harrison signed with the Tigers. Marwin Gonzalez, who is a Scott Boras client, signed a contract yesterday with the Twins, 2 years, $21 million. And then I just don't understand this whole, the Phillies are looking at Dallas Keuchel too. He's a Scott Boras client. You're not going to get Dallas Keuchel unless you get Bryce Harper, in my opinion.
I would almost wonder if you could get some kind of discount on Keuchel if you overpay. Now, would Keuchel be happy with that? I don't know, but you know, maybe you shave like $5 or $10 million off
and make it incentive laced or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
You know, maybe a little gamesmanship going on there.
Because my thing is like people are like, oh, forget Harper and just go sign Keuchel and Kimbrel. You're not going to do that because Keuchel is represented by Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And Keuchel's not going to sign until Harper signed because he's the other big fish that Boras has to negotiate with. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if that's why these contract negotiations with Harper are being held
because
up.
Because it's not just Harper.
It could be both.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah.
Hop off the plane, Bryce Harper comes out first, and everyone's excited, then Keuchel
Everybody's
comes out.
Everybody's going nuts, and then you just see the long billy goat beard of Dallas Keuchel swaying in the wind.
We need that beard in Philadelphia.
I couldn't agree more. Have Arrieta's tight-knit black, jet black beard, and then Keuchel's long cousin it-looking beard. You need it. But yeah, Phillies play again today. Apparently Nick Pivetta looks phenomenal down in spring training.
Friend of the show. Cole Irvin, apparently,
yep.
Putting on a show down in Florida as
Cole
well.
Cole Irvin
so.
Doing his thing. Nick Pivetta looks good. I would not mind a rotation of Aaron Nola, Dallas Keuchel, Jake Arrieta, Nick Pivetta, Cole Irvin.
When you say I wouldn't mind it, I would love that.
Yeah. sign me up. Wherever I need to sign, I'll sign that before Bryce Harper signs.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the news we got last night with Bryce Harper. Who knows if it's right? It's just being discussed from what we were told, but I believe the source, and I believe in the background checking we did into making sure that it was justifiable to report. So, hey, we got sources, baby. Eagles news outside of the stadium series. Jake Elliott and Rick Lovato. Kicker, long snapper tandem got extended through the 2019 season, so they'll be back next year. And then former captain Chris Maragos was released yesterday. His story is strange. He gets hurt during the Super Bowl run, doesn't play in the Super Bowl, gets surgery during the offseason. We're thinking we'll see him probably midseason. Never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Got a second surgery this season. And we have no idea what for. Ball Jerry Seinfeld. Come on the show. Let's discuss this.
You almost wonder if it's a situation with the medical staff perhaps making a mistake. You know, that was certainly something that was discussed a few months ago, right about when the Bryce Harper thing started.
Yeah.
I mean, you do almost wonder if that's what's happened here, if there was something that maybe just wasn't released, you know, about his injury history. But who knows, man?
It's strange.
Definitely a little bit mysterious.
And the other thing is that his contract last year was voided, so he wasn't counting against the cap, and this release was kind of just to get him an early head start on free agency. But I don't know. I would love to have somebody kind of just do a one-on-one sit-down with him and see what actually happened.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those mystery injury things that who knows if we'll ever find out what happened. So that's the Eagles there. the other like non-major sport news that came out that you would know more about. We talked about this in our group chat. Chelsea soccer getting that sanction put against them. I think that's just huge in the terms of the sports world. So you know more about the soccer world than I do, but
yeah. So Chelsea, a very popular soccer team in England, London-based, got a 2-transfer window ban. Which is essentially, the transfer window operates a little differently than in American sports. We have free agency, but it's essentially 2 free agency periods are now, they can't sign anyone, according to this. But they can appeal this. This has happened to a few clubs in the past. Barcelona and Atletico Madrid, 2 very recent teams that had to kind of circumvent this. So if they appeal it, they may be able to sign people this summer. But there's now, like, hindsight is proving to show that they knew about this, because Christian Pulisic, American star, someone that people should definitely be aware of, was signed by Chelsea in the winter, and there was competition with them in Liverpool. They went above the odds to sign him. People said they overpaid, but this is the reason that they overpaid, is because now he'll be joining in the summer where they may not be able to sign anyone. At least they got him in the door. And they also signed a striker, Higuain, on an 18-month deal, so they'll be able to, again, have players that they've brought in through this potential ban. It's big, you know, like losing a year of being able to sign players is, just think of that in any other sport, and it's catastrophic, but especially for a sport like that where the transfer window, especially a team like Chelsea that's struggling a bit right now, could use some new signings. They may not be able to get those, which is you just hate to see it.
And what caused all of this?
I believe usually this is, most often, this is due to with youth players. There's all types of, their scouting and youth programs and all that just works so differently. So I don't know exactly why they got banned, to be honest. I know in the past, though, clubs have gotten bans like this because they've promised, you know, like a 12-year-old certain amount of money, or like tried to get him to come to their specific youth setup. Things like that. Usually it has to do with multiple cases of that, though, and I wouldn't be shocked if that's the same with Chelsea. They're very notorious for their loan system, which is they buy a lot of young talents and loan them out to other clubs in the hopes that they can, you know, become better players and sell them, and that's sort of their business model, if you will, for being more sustainable, is buying up young players at a cheap price, loaning them out to clubs where they can play, you know, week on week, and selling them for eventual profit. So yeah, I mean, it's all a bit sticky, and we'll see what happens. But a little international talk for you there. We'll see what happens. I think Chelsea's important to keep an eye on, though, because if you're someone that likes the U.S. men's national team, Pulisic is one of the bright stars of that, and their success is now, unfortunately, linked to Christian Pulisic. So we'll see. 2 Americans abroad, though, Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie, had great games this past week in Europe. So shout out. Ball. Shout out the boys.
And then just kicking it back to the Phillies, too, we got the lineup for today's game. It'll be Cesar Hernandez, Gene Segura, Andrew McCutchen, Rhys Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Aaron Altair, I think it's Lane Adams, Brantley, I'm not sure who that is, and then Mitch Walding, and then Aniel De Los Santos will be pitching. So almost like an opening day.
Walding we got last year, right?
Yeah, we called him up from the Iron Pigs, and he has 1 hit in his major league career, and it was a home run.
Yeah.
Every other at-bat he's had was either a strikeout or a ground out.
Hey. You shoot your shot.
Exactly. But outside of Franco not playing, and obviously Aaron Altair being in the lineup, and Noah Dubel-Herrera, this kind of looks like what we might see as a potential, you know, 1-5 opening day lineup for the Phillies. And then we get to see Aniel De Los Santos, who we got last year around this time, you know, over the winter for Freddie Galvis. So safe to say we won that trade because Freddie Galvis is no longer with the Padres, and Aniel is one of our top prospects. And then Todd Zielecki put out an article about the potential of why John Middleton has flown to Las Vegas. This also comes after, I forget if we talked about this or not, but the Nationals owner publicly just coming out and saying, yeah, we're out on Bryce Harper. He said that they spent their money. He said that door's always kind of a little creaked open, but right now we've moved on. And
that seems like the writing that has been on the wall, though, for some time now, though. Yeah. You know?
And now it's, like, coming from the big boss's mouth. And he also said that they haven't heard from Bryce or Scott Boras in months. So that goes to show you everything you need to know about the Nationals' involvement with this. You know, it could be just to kind of have a one-on-one with Bryce, no Scott Boras, no nobody, and just kind of pick brains there. They did say a deal was not imminent last night, obviously. And like we said, we got that information sent to us last night, too. But
my issue with a lot of those national guys saying there's no deal imminent was that they didn't even know that he was out there at first. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like there was a lot of downplay to him even being there. And then it's like,
yeah, it came from Salisbury first.
It started with them not knowing that he was there, too. Well, he's just there for meet and greet, too. They're not discussing, like, anything legit. There's no deal imminent here. You know, like, it seems like a lot of backtracking and probably a lot of, I'm not really sure, but here's my here's my take. Yeah. I don't know how clued in they are when, you know, again, they weren't even the ones that knew right away what was even happening that you know, Middleton was out there, so and I don't know.
I was honestly cracking up today with John Heyman's tweets, and there's a new one, too. Somebody said, Andrew McCutchen, why he signed with the Phillies, said, did you see what they offered me?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame him. But Heyman last night, or actually this morning, said, Philly fans have been into it and enthusiastic about this potential signing like I've never seen. As suggested here and elsewhere, they do seem like the favorite, and for good reason, parentheses, the ballpark, the team, the money, but even mention of other teams in bidding sets off some. Why assume they're alone? And then he follows that up with, Phillies fans should be the last ones upset by mentions of potential surprise teams. Possible first mention of, quote, mystery team term appeared on this feed when everyone assumed Cliff Lee Derby was between the Yankees and Rangers. Not only was there a mystery team, but Philly actually got him.
That's fair and true. The reason
we're mad is because we're the favorites this time.
And not even that, is because all the other suggestions of teams are teams that can't offer as much or that are in much lesser positions. The Yankees, Rangers, and Phillies all at the time were World Series contenders. Mm-hmm. The Yankees and Rangers included, the Yankees won the World Series in 09. So it's like, I think that
the Rangers got to the World Series with Cliff Lee.
Exactly. You know, like, this, the issue is again, though, that just we are the clear favorite. We've been hearing for months. It's not a, there's a difference between being upset that we're not, I'm trying to like put into words here what I'm thinking. The reason people are upset is because this has been dragging for months, and we've been the clear favorite the entire time. With Machado, we were favorites for like a little bit, then the Yankees, then the Padres came in late, whatever. But at no point has anyone said that there's any team in better position for Bryce Harper than the Phillies. And people are upset that it's taken this long, that it's dragged out this much. I don't think the we're ready to spend stupid money comment helped much either, because that made it seem like we're getting this. Like, I think that put everyone in the mindset that we're getting Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, or
and
both.
And then you had Klentak's comments when Machado signed and said,
yeah, we walk away from the table, whatever. I think that's the root of the frustration. Not that there's other teams potentially in contention, because, first of all, there should be more teams in contention for someone like Bryce Harper. It shouldn't be us and the Giants, and that's it.
The phony Giants.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the frustration there, is that it's taken this long, and that we are the clear favorites. We have everything you could hope to offer someone like Bryce Harper. You know, you look at these other teams, and they don't have, again, they don't have the positional availability. They don't have the financial ability to give him a big mega contract.
They don't have the team.
And they don't have the potential to win. Like, those are the three things. Like, that's why people are upset. John Heyman's, let's relax, all right? Sick to bitmojis.
And then he goes and brings out the Keuchel thing and said, heard again, Philly is among the teams that could be a possible landing spot for Keuchel. Padres apparently are not. They're looking to add a starter, but doesn't see a fit with Keuchel. And that's the thing, too. We've been the favorites for Dallas Keuchel for how long now, too?
Yeah.
Which goes back to our just assumption that we made, like, 10 minutes ago. could be getting held up because they're working on a contract for both and trying to get them both in at the same time. So, heard here first if that happens. But I think that just about does it for this episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Not too much in the news. Obviously, Sixers playing in just a couple minutes. They'll tip off against the Blazers, and then we got the Stadium Series tonight. Like I said, myself, Brooke, and Alex will be down at Xfinity hanging out with everybody. So if you're down there going to the game, make sure you come say hello, come hang out, watch the game. But yeah, this show, as always, presented by Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. Go Phils, go Sixers, go Flyers, beat the Penguins, and then we'll get Tank Nation rolling right back up tomorrow morning. But we'll be back live on Wednesday. No Wings post game this week or next week for Outside the Box because they're on the bye. And yeah, make sure you check out the most recent NFL draft podcast that myself and Joe Rakowski put out. Joe, another new member of Underground Sports for the draft team. We recorded that, and it went up this morning, so make sure you check that out. Make sure you're subscribed to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Leave those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way. We're trying to get on that top 200 chart in the sports and recreation category, so make that happen. The Spotify listens have been going up. Get those follower counts up for us. Just hit the little heart. That's all you got to do, and just help us grow. But for everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, this has been episode number 109, and we are signing off. Peace.